بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this Thursday afternoon's live edition of Revival in Motion. 10 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African Time, and it is just gone past 8 here in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, where the night, the eve of Jumu'ah has already set in. Very hot weather, a heat wave currently in Malaysia. Temperatures reaching close onto 40 degrees Celsius. Very hot and humid in our part of the world. What's the weather like where you are? And I hope that the day has been a pleasant one for you, and that in this day you've used every opportunity to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask of Him, to make dua to Allah, to obey Allah, and to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your actions, your words, and your intentions. My name's Rehan Omar, and as always, it is a pleasure and a blessing to be connecting with you for this hour on Radio Islam International. On the program today, we have a very special edition of the program, that is, simply because 9 months down the line, we come to the conclusion of an incredible series. A series we began in Ramadan 2015. The life and times of one of Islam and the world's most extraordinary personalities, Aisha radiallahu anha. In the course of the last 9 months, you've experienced with us and learnt and travelled through the pages of history to discover more about her childhood and upbringing, her life as part of the early Muslims, her struggles and sacrifice, her role in the Hijra, being the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and then being the wife of Allah's beloved messenger Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We discovered and learnt about her personality, her character traits, the incredible quest for knowledge that she had, and then we discovered her legacy post the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learnt of her as a teacher, as a mother to millions, as a guide and mentor. We learnt about her likes and dislikes, her preferences, all the little nuances to her personality, and we discover what makes her, up until this day, one of the most cherished role models in Islam. On today's edition of the program, we'll be summarizing the extraordinary life and legacy of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. But first, on today's program, sharing with you practical advice on how you and I can deal and grow through the experiences of heartache. That's what we'll be discussing on today's program, and our main quote or theme for today's program is, if Allah brings you to it, He will bring you through it. Love to know what quotations, what wise words of wisdom, where do you draw your strength from? Are there certain quotations, ayat of the Quran, hadith that you came across that really give you strength and conviction and just lift you up in those difficult moments? So the saying we mentioned for today is, if Allah brings you to it, He will bring you through it. And so whatever misfortune you have experienced, allow Allah to show you the way out. Have you experienced a disappointment or loss? Has your heart been broken? Are you trying to figure out how to be happy again? And it can be from a myriad of different things that you've experienced in your life. It could be personally, at work, at home. Remember, as a believer, you need 3 things. Faith, hope, and time. So keep the faith, keep the iman alive in your heart, even if it's just a spark. Hold on to your hope for the future, even if it is filled as though it's by the tips of your fingers. and allow time to pass. Because in due course of time, your iman will blaze again and your hope will soar. So be patient, trust Allah, thank Allah, and look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Hang in there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what heartache, what difficulty you're going through right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you through it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you through it, insha'Allah. The words of Imam Zayd Shakir, one of the pioneer Islamic scholars in the United States, said, "Attach your heart to Allah and you will never be let down. Attach your heart to Allah and you will never be let down." Having said that, let's look at what it is that you and I can use as tools in our everyday life. And we're all in some way or the other healing from something. It could be a physical illness. It could be emotional, mental, psychological. But there's something that we all need to be healing from. What is it that you're healing from? My question today is not specifically what you're healing from, but what are the tools that you and I as Muslims can use? How do we, you know, it's easy to say, "I'll get through this." But when you're going through a dark time, and maybe it's a retrenchment at work, maybe your health, maybe your personal issues, financial issues, health issues, and you're wondering, how do I get through a dark time? How do I get through this period in my life that's bringing me so much of heartache? So I'll share with you some practical tools on the way forward, but I'd also like you to tell me, to tell us, our listeners, what are the practical tools you, as a believer, invest in on a daily basis? What do you do to help yourself get through difficult times? You can always message us to WhatsApp, +6013-260-8592. Email to Raihana, RAYHAANAH@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. What are the tools you use every day to uplift yourself or to get through a dark and heavy time in your life? One of the first things that I want to share with you is that, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being all merciful, all compassionate, does not hate you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not torturing you. When you're going through a hardship, Allah is not there to torture you. Hardships are common in life. But as human beings, as insan, we like to take things personally. Everyone goes through confusing, difficult times. No one's immune to it. So when you're going through something that's literally breaking your heart or making you feel so disillusioned, remember, Allah loves us. And Allah, yes, may be testing us. Maybe He is teaching us a lesson. But is He torturing us or hating us? No. And we have no right to say that. The second thing to remember when you're going through heartache, when you're going through a difficult time, you know, we hear the words that time heals all wounds. Well, that's only partially true. Yes, in due time, it sometimes becomes easier to deal with your heartache or problem. But we also need to put effort to heal ourselves. And that first level of healing is with our deen, spiritually. And then healing emotionally, mentally, and physically. I meet many people who go through tremendous upheaval and difficulties in their lives. And they say, "Well, everyone else is wrong. Time doesn't heal." So time heals some wounds partially, maybe not completely. And we need to realize that it's a combination of many factors that help us heal. And when I say heal, I do not mean forget. Many people feel that when you're told that time heals, that it means that time will make you forget. And no, that's not true. We can go through upheaval or difficulty or heartache or pain in our life that is so raw and so painful that we cannot forget, right? But when we say we heal, we mean that we come to an acceptance and an understanding of what has happened. Number three, therapy or counseling. There are many different modalities for therapies and counseling, and they can help. Try it. I've come across many people who haven't ever tried counseling or therapy or tried it once or twice in their life for a different situation and say, well, I tried it once in my life and it didn't work out. You have got to try as many avenues as you can. Provided they're within the framework of the Sharia, of Islam, you need to try different avenues of healing. For some, it's horse riding. For others, it's having to take a short break at the seaside and seeing the water and feeling the water and being near the ocean. For others, it's exercise or a change of lifestyle or dietary change. For some, it's therapy or counseling through various means. So there are many different healing modalities, and you need to consider which technique or which therapy or counseling could help you get through that difficult period. Don't just give up. People train in many different fields to help others, to uplift and empower others. So consider, what can you do to help yourself? We often have this illness or physical ailment. It could be a procedure, an operation. It could be any type of surgery even. And a person is healing physically from an illness, a disease, a surgery, a procedure, etc. And they somehow feel that healing is only physical. Not so. There's a whole lot of emotional, mental, psychological upheaval that happens with it as well. Likewise, we may go through something that drains us or affects us mentally, and all of a sudden we start having body aches and pains, or we start becoming really ill and having to visit a whole host of specialists and doctors. We don't realize that whatever upheaval we're experiencing mentally and emotionally is also affecting the body. It's what we call metaphysical. So realize that every part of our being, all the different dimensions, physical, emotional, mental, psychological, spiritual, are all connected. Take, for example, Salah. And perhaps you've been one of those people who have always been able to concentrate well and focus in Salah. You've established your Salah, and together with that you've established khushu', that devotion, focus and concentration. You find yourself slipping up. You find that more recently you haven't been able to establish that khushu'. So it's not just saying, I don't know what's happening. It's asking yourself, am I unwell physically? Am I recovering from an illness and perhaps weak on medication? Perhaps I have things on my mind that are really troubling me. Perhaps I've left out some of the steps that I used to do before. Maybe I'm so absent-minded, or I'm so busy with work or studies that I've forgotten that when I make wudu, I used to be mindful, for example. So everything is connected: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and psychological. Next, human beings are not medication. Sometimes we go through a difficulty, a heartache in our lives, and we somehow use people as either punching bags, so we take out our frustration on them, and that could be someone who we work with, or someone we live with, or someone we're close to. And so we use them as punching bags, sometimes as emotional sponges or emotional clutches, where we sometimes drain the next person out emotionally. So we need to be very careful and realize that when we're trying to heal from a difficult time, that we cannot, it's unfair to make someone else your punching bag. It's unfair to make someone else your emotional clutch or your emotional sponge. Yes, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues are your crucial support network that you need to get through any heartache or difficulty. And yes, they are there so you can lean on them and you can cry on their shoulder. And you can let them love you and allow that love into your heart during your dark times. But they are not responsible for taking your pain away. You can't be saying, well, I've confided or I've cried to my spouse or my best friend or my neighbor, but they haven't helped me change. They haven't taken away the pain, because they're not responsible for it. You are responsible to take that next step of healing. They can guide you, they can help you, support you, give you ideas, hear you out, but it's up to you, and it's your pain that you need to resolve. So as much as we would like to just maybe sometimes offload a lot of our pain and trauma on others, or use them as emotional sponges or punching bags, realize that at the end of the day, you are responsible for taking away your own pain, and you need to take those steps that are necessary. Next, there's something in psychology and counseling that we call a safe space. So imagine you sitting in a circle on the floor, for example, and draw a circle around yourself. Well, that's what we're talking about when it comes to a safe space. So when you're recovering or you're trying to recover from a difficulty or a heartache, remember to be very careful and selective who you allow into your safe space. This should be people you trust, people who you feel understand you well and who know you well. So when you're recovering from a heartache, from a difficulty, be very selective of who you allow into your close space. I'm not saying at any instance to be snobbish or discard people. No, no, no. But sometimes, you know, when we're going through a heartache, we can be very vulnerable. So we allow everyone, people we're very close to, yes, but also people that we're not so close to, or people we haven't fully established trust in. We don't even know well, and we share everything with them and then wonder why things backfire on us. So be careful. When you're going through a heartache, a upheaval in your life, make sure that you surround yourself with those whom you trust, people who understand you, and where you have this this confidence that they are there to empower you and to support you. That's very, very important. The next point, whenever you're going through a hardship in life, there's one thing that's really difficult to do, and that's to nurture yourself and to love yourself. So people often during a hardship are living with so much of self-blame or self or guilt, right, or self-shaming, and they say, well, I don't have time, I don't have the energy to care for myself. But when you're feeling down in the dumps, and when you're feeling miserable, or you're going through a really hard time, the worst thing that you could do is to beat yourself down. Because now's the time to think of Allah's mercy, to think of Allah's kindness, to think of Allah's love. Start loving yourself. When we talk about loving ourselves, it's not about a sense of pride or arrogance or conceit, but it's about accepting who Allah has made you to be, and appreciating yourself, and being grateful for who Allah has made you to be. Now, when you can start nurturing yourself, making time for yourself, loving yourself, caring for yourself, that's when you reach a much more stable emotional and mental state. And of course, dua. Whenever you're going through a hardship or heartache in your life, make dua. Make dua at any time. You don't need to only be on a musalla to be making dua. Make dua as much as you can. Recite plenty of durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dua changes many things, and dua is truly a miracle. So empower yourself with this tool. Dua is a spiritual tool from the toolbox of a Muslim. It is timeless and it is infinite. You can make dua when you're standing or sitting, when you're on the musalla or not, whether you're crying or whether you're happy. Make dua. Keep talking to Allah. Keep asking for Allah, from Allah. It's strange and it's sad when we ask people for something, someone we're close to or we trust, we're not shy to say, I need this or I want this, and give tall orders, right? Whether it's at work or in a family situation. But when we ask from Allah, why do we limit? Why do we ask for one thing when our heart is asking for a million more things? So keep asking. Ask and ask and ask some more. Make dua. It's 31 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African time. You're with Revival in Motion, where today on the program, we're sharing with you tools on how to get through a broken heart, how to get through heartache, and how to get through a dark time in your life. I hope these tools will empower you at the moment you need it most. Coming up after the break, we summarize the life of one of the world's greatest women. Stay with us for more. Before the break, we spoke about concept that if Allah brings you to it, He will bring you through it. We spoke about the basic ingredients or the basic items in your toolbox to cope with a difficulty, to cope with a heartache, a heartbreak, a hardship, those dark times where you're really, really grappling and you're not finding what it is that can comfort you and uplift you. And that truly is, subhanAllah, that truly is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'd love to know from you, are there certain quotations, du'as, quotes, books, what is it that you turn to when you're really down in the dumps? And when you share with us, what's so amazing on this platform is that I can get to share it with our listeners. So it can help so many other people. And we don't know who is listening that's going through a difficulty or hardship. And if you are going through a hardship and you are going through a heartache or difficulty in your life right now, I make dua to Allah that He heals you, that He guides you, that He helps you find the answers you need, that He gives you the closure you may need, and that He heals you. Body, mind, heart, spirit. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. If you'd like to interact, share with us quotations or ideas, words, tools, resources, what helps you when you are in a really difficult, dark situation in your life, you can WhatsApp to +60132608592. I always love hearing from our listeners, and I know many others who keep benefiting from your advices. You can email Rayhana, RayhanaNah at gmail.com. Now, it's a very special day. It's bittersweet because today sees the conclusion of our series on one of the world's greatest individuals who ever lived. For almost 9 months, we've been discovering, learning, appreciating, and honoring Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. Her story comes to a close today, but her legacy lives on. The life of Aisha radiallahu anha is proof that a woman can be far more learned and can be the teacher of scholars and experts, both men and women. Her life is proof that a woman can exert influence over men and women and provide them with inspiration and leadership. Her life is proof that the same woman can be totally feminine and be a source of joy and comfort for her spouse. She did not graduate from any university. There were no universities as such in her day. But still, her utterances, are studied in faculties of literature. Her legal pronouncements are studied in colleges of law, and her life and works are studied and researched by students and teachers of Islamic history, as they have been for over 1,400 years. The bulk of her vast treasure of knowledge was obtained, as we learned, while she was quite young. In her early childhood, she was brought up by her father, who was greatly liked and respected because he was a man of gentleness, of an agreeable presence, and of wide knowledge. Moreover, he was the closest friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the wife and close companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she acquired from him knowledge and insight that very few others had. We learnt about her marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about her wedding. Aisha radiallahu anha's early life in Medina also had its more serious and anxious times. Once, her father and two companions who were staying with him fell ill with a dangerous fever which was common in Medina at certain seasons. One morning, Aisha radiallahu anha went to visit him and was dismayed to find the three men lying completely weak and exhausted. She asked her father how he was, and he answered her in verse, but she did not understand what he was saying. The two others also answered her with lines of poetry, which seemed to her to be nothing but unintelligible babbling. She was deeply troubled and went home to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "They are raving out of their minds through the heat of the fever." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked what they had said, and was somewhat reassured when she repeated almost word for word the lines they had uttered, and which made sense, although she did not fully understand them then. This was a demonstration of the great retentive power of her memory, which as the years went by were to preserve so many of the priceless sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of the Prophet's wives in Medina, it was clear that it was Aisha radiallahu anha that he loved most. From time to time, one of the or the other of his companions radiallahu anhum would ask, "O Messenger of Allah, whom do you love most in the world?" He did not always give the same answer to this question, for he felt great love for many of his daughters, and for his daughters, his children, for Abu Bakr, Ali, Zayd, Usama. But of his wives, the only one he named in this connection was Aisha, and she too loved him greatly in return, and would often seek reassurance from him that he loved her. Once she asked him, "How is your love for me?" "Like the rope's knot," he replied, meaning that it was strong and secure. And time after time thereafter, she would ask him, "How is the knot?" And he would reply, "Ala haliha," in the same condition. As she loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so was her love a jealous love, and she could not bear the thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attention should be given to others more than seemed enough to her. She asked him, "O Messenger of Allah, tell me of yourself. If you were between the two slopes of a valley, one of which had not been grazed, whereas the other had been grazed, on which would you pasture your flocks?" And he said, "On that which had not been grazed." "Even so," she said, "and I am not as any other of your wives. Every one of them had a husband before you, except myself. Rasulullah smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said nothing. Of her jealousy, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha would say in later years, I was not jealous of any other wife of the Prophet as I was jealous of Khadija. Because of his constant mentioning of her, and because Allah had commanded him to give her good tidings of a mansion in Jannah of precious stones. And whenever he sacrificed a sheep, he would send a fair portion of it to those who had been her close friends. Many a time I said to him, it is as if there had never been any other woman in the world except Khadija. And we discussed this in great detail. Remember when we did the series on Khadija radiallahu anha? Once, when Aisha radiallahu anha complained and asked why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke so highly of an old Quraysh woman, the Prophet was hurt and said, she was the wife who believed in me when others rejected me. When people gave me lies, she affirmed my truthfulness. When I stood forsaken, she spent her wealth to lighten the burden of my sorrow. Despite her feelings of jealousy, which nonetheless were not of a destructive kind, Aisha radiallahu anha was really a generous soul and a patient one. We go for our last ad break of the hour, and when we return, let's continue recapping and summarizing the gist of her legacy, which we've learned over the last few months. More after this break. Stay with us. Welcome to the program. If you've just joined us, we're completing a summary of the life and legacy of Aisha radiallahu anha. We've studied her life together, and it feels, as one of the listeners sent in a message to say, it feels as though we're saying goodbye to a friend. Because she's been with us every Thursday for almost 9 months, and we've learnt about her, we've grown fond of her, and we've always loved Aisha radiallahu anha, but we learnt so much about her in such detail that she has become part of our lives. And many of you message and email to say over the months that you wait for this episode because you want to learn about her. And it is though today we're saying farewell to her, but rather that it should be that we welcome her into our lives. Go back to the podcasts, listen to them again. If you've been writing notes, look at your notes. What is it about her personality and her legacy that you're going to make come alive in your life? How will you be Aisha radiallahu anha in your own life? We know that she, together with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's household, went through a lot of poverty and hunger, which lasted very long periods. For days on end, no fire would be lit in their sparsely furnished house for cooking or for baking bread. They lived for weeks on end on just dates and water. But this poverty did not distress her. It did not humiliate her. But it reminded her to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a lifestyle she chose even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Aisha radiallahu anha preserved the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She lived for almost 50 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. She was his wife for a decade. And she spent that time learning and acquiring knowledge of the two most important sources of Allah's guidance, the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was one of the wives who memorized the Qur'an. Scholars tell us the other one was Hafsa and Salama radiallahu anhuma. Like Hafsa radiallahu anha, she had her own script of the Qur'an written after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. She was proficient in fiqh and medicine and poetry and Qur'an. Scholars regard her as one of the earliest fuqaha of Islam. along the likes of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali radiyallahu an, and Abdullah ibn Abbas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, referring to her extensive knowledge of Islam, said, "Learn a portion of your deen from this red-colored lady, Humaira," meaning red-colored. That was the epithet given to Aisha radiyallahu anha by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She possessed great knowledge. She was active in educational and social reform. She had a clear and persuasive manner of speech. And her power of oratory was described by the Ahnaf, who said, "I've heard speeches of Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali, and the Khulafa up to this time, but I have not heard speech more persuasive and more beautiful from the mouth of any person than from the mouth of Aisha radiallahu anha." After Khadija al-Kubra and Fatima al-Zahra, Aisha al-Siddiqa is regarded as the best of women in Islam. Because of the strength of her personality, she was a leader in every field of knowledge, in society, in politics, and in war. She often regretted her involvement in war, but lived long enough to always maintain her position as the most respected woman of her time. She passed away in the year 58 after Hijri, in the month of Ramadan, and as she instructed, she was buried in Jannatul Baqi, in the city of lights, Madina Munawwara, beside other companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with Aisha radiallahu anha, and to make her our role model, to allow us to follow in her example, and to be as she was, to be courageous, to sacrifice, to be dynamic in whatever skills we have been blessed with. We close the chapter after all these months on the life of an incredible personality. Research, understanding, production of the program, so that each of us, for the pleasure of Allah, can come to learn of this incredible woman who lived and inspired, and who continues to inspire even up until this day. Turning now to your messages to see what you're sharing with us, and your input, your insight, which I always look forward to. This is an email coming to us from Sister Samira. It says, "Salam, with regards to getting through a hardship, I always give my students the example of a boat. If a child makes a paper boat and puts it into water, he can put a small twig on it. If he has a remote control boat, he can put a stone or toy figurine on it. A rowing boat you can put people on. Ship you can put food supplies, etc. If you make a huge cruise ship, you can have an entire hotel on it. If you build the boat, you know its strengths. Similarly, Allah is our creator. He knows what we can and cannot take. He knows that you are strong enough. Allah does not burden anybody with something they cannot bear." And that comes to us from Sister Samira. Thank you so much, Jazakumullah khairan, for sharing that with us. A beautiful analogy. I know I'm going to remember this analogy for a long time, and I'm sure many of our listeners as well. Jazakumullah khairan. Turning now to your WhatsApp messages, the one comes to us from Sister Farhana. "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Your program is beautiful and I was waiting for this. I had always been hoping that the series continues. I know it can't go on forever, but you have covered it so beautifully to us. You have been so dedicated to this topic. What you shared with us in Aisha radiallahu anha, I have not heard anywhere else. May Allah reward and bless you. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Sister Farhana. Ameen, Ya Rab." The next message comes to us from Sister Aisha. She says, "Salams, amazing program. On a lighter note of dealing with setbacks, I always remind myself and children of an incident that happened when one of my kids were in grade 1. She was running and fell over and began to cry. The teacher, being a no-nonsense and not very sympathetic, responded with, 'You're not going to die.' I was naturally appalled by the coolness of those words. However, we did learn a life lesson from this. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. The tawakkul in Allah and this attitude is what I would love to teach my family. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, that is so, so beautiful, Alhamdulillah. The next message comes to us from Sister Samiha in Mauritius. She says, Assalamu alaikum, hope you are doing well, Afarihana, Alhamdulillah. Dua is very important and putting all the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have control over things. It is Allah who controls everything. Turn to Allah always. Beautiful message, beautiful advice. The next message comes to us from one of our regular listeners. Alhamdulillah, always good to hear from our loyal listeners as well, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, respected Hafidha, hoping you and your folks are in the best of health. Alhamdulillah, yes. With the fadl of Allah, regarding the weather, we're having good rain. In fact, it has been drizzling all night and day right up to this moment. Alhamdulillah, that comes to us from Brother Yunus of the Asia, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Rain, a time for dua, for acceptance of dua. So if it's raining wherever you are in the world, make dua. One of the things I love most about living in Malaysia is that it rains almost every afternoon, especially now during monsoon seasons. And subhanAllah, that's a chance for us sinful servants to be making dua. And we also make the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. And we ask Allah to grant us beneficial rains, inshaAllah. Ameen. So even when we're given the goodness of rains, we want the beneficial part of it. That brings us to the close of today's program. The messages I haven't been able to read out, I will reply to you personally. Jazakumullah for joining us on this journey, the journey of discovering and loving Aisha radiallahu anha. Many of you messaging to ask what's coming up next? Well, that's going to be a surprise, but I promise you that next Thursday's program will be just as inspiring and uplifting. Jazakumullah khairan for listening in. You are our Radio Islam family. We leave you with this nasheed about Aisha radiallahu anha, sung by Umar Isa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.